happy birthday. Thanks for coming and for being here for a year. The children are dismissed for children's church. This will be the last time we study God's Word together this year. So it'll be something I hope that we all remember, something that God uses in each one of our lives, including mine. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for your love for us. Thank you for the privilege it is to have a copy of the Word of God before us that we can read, that we can understand, that's in our own language, It's written in so many translations for us. It makes it wonderful for us to see what you've said and not to miss the meaning. Lord, we just pray that we'll remember the coming of Jesus during the Christmas season and the new year. And we pray that there will be many, many new people come to know Jesus in this coming new year as we walk with Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to Matthew chapter 2, and I'll be reading verses 1 through 12. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. It's the same passage that I spoke on to our LifeWise kids before they went home for Christmas break. So this is number 3 for me talking through this. So it should get better every time, I would think, at least I hope. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. He had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. "In Bethlehem, in Judea," they replied, "for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel." Then Herod called the Magi secretly, found out from them the exact time that the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, and that I too may come and worship him." After they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Well, I think that the main theme in verses 1 through 12, is responding to the king in worship. The word worship is in the passage at least 3 times. And that seems to be the key word in these 12 verses, is worship. How have you noticed that people respond to Jesus? I'd like for you to just take a minute and write down a couple notes about what you've noticed. How people respond to Jesus. The Gospel of Matthew presents Jesus as our King. This first gospel in the Bible was written directly, and I think especially for the Jewish people. Matthew is especially for the Jewish people. Mark, especially for the Romans. There are special Latin words in the book of Mark that are not in any of the other gospels. The book of Luke is written to Theophilus, this Greek guy. So it seems like the intensity of the Greek language in Luke, it seems to be that that had its main source or main direction was towards Greek people. And then the Gospel of John was written for the whole world. For God so loved the whole world that he gave his son. But Matthew was written especially so the Jewish people might know that Jesus, without a doubt, is the promised Messiah. He's the one they should have been looking for, and it's the one they should have found. But it's also very good for us, too, because it's the Word of God. And it serves as kind of like a bridge between the Old Testament scriptures and the New Testament scriptures, between the Old Covenant and the New Covenant. This is how it's connected. In chapter 1, which we're not going to read today, you find there the pedigree of Jesus. It's spelled out for us, generation after generation, three generations of 14, where Jesus came from, who were his kin, who he was related to, all those things in those first few verses, that he was a legitimate child that fit into that line of the king. Then, the exciting story continues in chapter 2. It shows us how Jesus was worshipped, not only by Jewish people, but also by Gentiles. Gentiles. I think most of us here are Gentiles. They also came to know Jesus. And Jesus came not just for the Jews, but also for Gentiles, like you and me. Chapter 2 shows us how people responded to Jesus, how they reacted. And it also invites us to respond to Jesus, to react to his offer of salvation, to worship him in spirit and in truth. Still today, people respond to Jesus in radically different ways. We go through this passage, we'll see this. Some diligently seek him. Boy, these guys traveled over 1,000 miles. These, how many numbers of wise men? Maybe over 1,000 miles through the desert. They diligently sought Jesus. Some people conveniently ignored him. Hey, it's not to my best interest to accept this guy. I'm just going to conveniently walk away from this guy. Some violently opposed him. Said, we got to get rid of this guy. It can only be one king here. Violently opposed. And some sincerely, with their whole self, worshipped him. So let's go through Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12, and examine these four clear responses to Jesus. Four clear responses. First of all, I said, some diligently seek Jesus. I'm talking here about the Magi in verses 1 through 2. It says, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? We saw his star in the east and have come to worship him. So the first group, or Magi, or wise men who came to Jerusalem to see the King of the Jews. Now, these two verses tell us all the things about their coming that God wants us to know. It's really really pointless to try to name these guys or count how many there were. It's plural. Could be three, could be 20. It doesn't tell us. They had three gifts, but it doesn't actually say three guys came. And if there were enough of them were there that stirred up all of Jerusalem, it's probably more than three, because Jerusalem is a big place. It's pointless to try to come up with new ideas about who the wise men were or their names or any of that. The scriptures tell us where the Magi came to. Didn't come to Sullivan, didn't come to Spencer. But they came to Jerusalem. They came to Jerusalem first, because that's where the star led them. And then to Bethlehem. Now, scriptures also tell us when the Magi came. They came after Jesus was born and during the reign of King Herod. We know, according to history, when he died. So it's a very secure time period that we know when Jesus came. And the scriptures tell us who came. Magi from the east, wise men. And the scriptures tell us why they came. Because they saw his star. They came in response to that to worship the King of Kings, Jesus. And the scriptures tell us how they came. Their coming was intense. Their coming was a continuous process. They were diligently asking everywhere in Jerusalem, hey, have you seen him? Where is he? Aren't you excited? We're here to see him, to greet the king. Are you going to greet him too with us? Magi were guys that normally studied the stars. You know, I'm convinced that these Magi were men who had received revelation from God that caused them to travel these hundreds of miles, or maybe 1,000 miles, to locate this king. The only passage in the Bible that connects a king with a star is Numbers chapter 24, verse 17. But I think they were also influenced by what Daniel wrote. Daniel was so influential, you know, so important that, you know, he had this whole group of guys that were wise men and advised the king, several kings. Maybe that's what happened. They got information from Daniel while Daniel and people, the Jews, were in captivity in Babylon. But these men diligently sought Jesus. You know what? People are wise today if they still diligently seek Jesus. I mean, he's the King of Kings. He's the key to life, key to heaven, key to everything is Jesus. We should be diligently seeking him all the time. Second response. Some conveniently ignore Jesus. And I'm thinking here the chief priests. Verses 3 and 4 talk about this. When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. When he had called together all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Christ was to be born. In Jerusalem and Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people, Israel. Get this. The chief priests and the teachers of the law knew where Jesus was going to be born. You know, I think if I would have been there and I would have known that, I would have built a condominium or something, you know, in Bethlehem and just kind of hung out there like on the weekends, you know, waiting, hey, the Messiah is going to be born here and I want to be here where he's coming. And Bethlehem is only 5 miles south of Jerusalem. It's not like, you know, even part of it, just part of a day to walk there. But not one went to worship him. Asked where Jesus was to be born, they answered correctly from Micah chapter 5:2. They knew it, but they didn't obey it. The Son of God is very close. They didn't spend time diligently seeking him. They didn't go. Instead, the Gentiles came and found him. They go. Why didn't they? Well, I can come up with maybe three ideas about why they didn't go. Pride, unbelief, fear, maybe. Maybe it's a combination of all those things. These priests were prideful about their position. It made them a lot of money. They liked the power that they had. They were big shots in Jerusalem. They might have thought, hey, that's below us to go see a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger, or hanging out in a house, or hanging out in a cave, wherever he is. You know, if he's really a king, he should be in a palace. Or maybe, even though they knew the Old Testament prophecy, just because they knew it doesn't mean that they believed it or they understood it. Do you know people like that? They come up to you and they could quote, you know, lots of scripture, but they don't understand it. They don't believe any of that. Or it could have been because of fear. This King Herod, Herod the Great, was really an unstable guy. I mean, he killed several of his wives. He killed some of his sons. Caesar Augustus said it's safer to be a pig in Jerusalem than it is to be Herod's son. Because Jews don't kill pigs, but they sure do kill people, especially this king. And this guy was worked up. He was disturbed. He was shook up. He was paranoid. He didn't know what was going on. He said, there's only one king, and that's me. It can't be another king. Maybe because of fear, they were afraid for their own hides and chose to ignore Jesus. You know, there are some people who act that way today. They choose to ignore Jesus. They allow fear to run their lives. We ran a English center in Prague. One day we had a college girl come to our center and said, I'm a Christian, and I go to school here. But I don't dare come to this organization. I don't dare come here because, first of all, they'll kick me out of school. Secondly, I'll lose my job. And thirdly, my parents will kick me out. I'll be homeless on the street. I believe what you guys are doing, but I'm scared to death. I'm scared to death to come here. So sometimes people still are ruled by fear. What will my friends say? What will my friends say if I trust Jesus? My Savior. What will my family say? Nobody in our family is Christian. What will they say? They do that rather than thinking about what God says. That's the most important being, the most important person is what God says, rather than what all the world that's passing away says. Some conveniently ignore Jesus. And that's something that costs them for all of eternity. To ignore God is doing to try to draw them to himself. Thirdly, some violently oppose Jesus. And I'm thinking Herod here, verses 7 and 8. Then Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me, that I too may go and worship him. You know, Herod was just as crafty as an old snake. He knew where Jesus was going to be born from his priests in Bethlehem. And now the wise men told him when Jesus had been born, when they first saw the star. You know, this Herod the Great, was a murderer and a liar. It's the same characteristics that Satan has. You know, he is an, Satan is an accuser. He's a liar. He's a destroyer. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to destroy your testimony. He wants to take away your joy. Satan wants as many people in hell with him as possible. So he works to discourage people, keep people away from reading the Bible or going to church or being in a small group. All the stuff is Satan's work. And Herod had no defense against that because he rejected Jesus. He rejected God. So Herod was just like a secret agent gathering information about Jesus, not to go to worship him. He was pretending like he would go to worship Jesus, but instead he was going to go and send his soldiers there to kill Jesus, to make sure he got him, to wipe him out. And he needed to know the exact place. And then he would send his soldiers, which later he would do. Matthew 2 tells us. Do you know people a little bit like Herod? Maybe these people are not killing anybody physically, but they are talking about it, and they're dead on the inside. Maybe they're controlled by fear. Maybe they're always in a fight. They're always arguing. They always know a better way to get things done. They didn't get that way overnight. You know, they have cultivated these thoughts, these behaviors, but they can be changed overnight. Jesus can change people like that, and he does all the time. Now, I work with a man with our kids here named Tom Matthews, and Tom Matthews became a Christian when he was in his 50s, and he's a godly man today. I just love work. Love working with Tom Matthews, you know. He listens to what Lynn Crosby says in her classes. And he listens to what one of our other teachers says, and he listens to me. He said, I just wish I would have had this opportunity to hear what the kids are hearing. My life, it's so clear, it's so precise, it's explained in such a nice way. My life would have been different. All these things that I went through, my life, I could have, it didn't have to happen. If I just would have listened, if I just would have had that teaching, I could have responded to these things correctly. So, so very important we get the Word of God into children's lives as soon as possible so they can be clearly taught and their lives can be different. They don't have to go through all these things like Tom went through, many of us went through. Fourthly and finally, some sincerely worship Jesus. I'm thinking about the Magi in verses 9 through 12. After they had heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. You can imagine. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother, Mary. And they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold and of incense and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. Everything in these last four verses point to the Magi's practical worship of our King. They worshipped him in practical ways. And the four verses, there are actually five things pointed out to us in how they worshiped the King of Kings. First of all, they followed the star. Find that in verse 9. It says, after they had heard the king, they went on their way, and the star they had seen in the east went ahead of them till it stopped over the place where the child was. Now, these guys didn't know everything there was to know about God, but they did obey the revelation that God provided for them. Even though it's a minuscule part of what we have today, they still obeyed what they had. They had seen a star maybe 2 years before. Wherever they were coming from the east, it moved. It was a strange star. It moved in front of them, much like the pillar of fire that moved in front of the Israelites in the wilderness. And not only that, it didn't go from east to west like most stars do, but it went from north to south. It was a miracle. It was wonderful, especially designed and equipped star to tell people, like a signal beacon, where Jesus was laying. So they followed the star. That's how they worshiped God. They obeyed what they knew about God. Secondly, they were filled with joy by seeing the star. Verse 10, and they saw the star, they were overjoyed. So they responded correctly to the word of God and to God's revelation. The shining glory of God led them, and they were very glad that they had seen it again. You know, joy is a choice. In the book of Philippians, it says, rejoice always. Again, I say rejoice. Those are all commands. So apparently, we have a choice whether to rejoice or not to rejoice. And God says, choose joy. And that's what these wise men did. They chose joy. They could have grumbled and said, oh no, my feet hurt so bad. I've been carrying these gifts forever. Why couldn't he just be here in Jerusalem? No, they didn't do that. They were joyful. They went where the star led them. And thirdly, they bowed down and worshiped the Christ in a house. Verse 11, it says, on coming to the house, they saw the child and his mother Mary, and they bowed down and they worshiped him. They did the right thing when they came in the presence of God. They worshiped God. Bowed down, showing reverence to him. It was normal to visit when they visited a king to bring gifts. And these gifts were expensive gifts that would be easy to transport from wherever they're coming from. It would also help this family as they would go in the future to Egypt to provide for them. All kinds of things. Gold, especially for a king. Frankincense and myrrh were like spices. Perfumes, sometimes used to prepare a body for burial, but also easily eat stuff that's easy to, you know, turn into cash. And that's what they gave. And finally, they obeyed, again, revelation from God. They obeyed the warning of God in verse 12. And having been warned in a dream not to go back to Herod, they returned to their country by another route. It would have been easy to go back to the king. You know, there was probably a lot of prestige associated with that. You know, I can go back and talk to the king of this whole country. But instead, they listened to what God told them. So we should always choose obedience over fame. And they returned to their home alive. Obeying God often protects our lives from evil stuff out there everywhere. As we read these last, especially verse 11, notice who the wise men worshipped in verse 11. When they saw the child with his mother Mary, they fell down and they worshipped. And notice the pronoun. They bowed down and worshipped him, Christ, and no one else. It would have been the perfect time when they could have bowed down and worshiped Mary, or venerated Mary, or whatever word you want to use to say, give Mary special favor, that somehow Mary can get as close to God. She can't. Godly lady, but Jesus is the intercessor for us, between us and God. They came and they worshiped the right being. They worshiped Christ, not anything else. And they showed again that they were wise men. They knew that the only way to God is through the Son. They worshiped, and therefore they worshiped him. And they presented him with humble stuff that they had with them, the best that they had with them. Treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. There are different ways to respond to the Have you noticed how people respond to Jesus? It can be in some of the ways that we mentioned today. It can be by diligently seeking the king. And I'm glad I know a lot of people that do that. They diligently seek Jesus. I mean, they read the Word of God. They pray it into their lives. They try to apply it. Not perfect, but still, we're going to be perfect in heaven, right? We're always going to sin here. We're always going to make mistakes. But people, that's who you want to be around. You want to be people who diligently seek the king. And there are the people who conveniently ignore the king. They say, I got better stuff to do. You know, or I can wait till I'm on my deathbed before I make my decision. But we don't know what's going to happen on our deathbed. Well, we're in the right mind or how quick our death is going to occur. Don't know that. Or by violently opposing the king. Lots of people today seem to be against Jesus and Jesus' followers. Or the final way that we found here is by sincerely worshiping the king. These are all sincere choices that people make. But not all of them lead a person to heaven or to eternal life. The question for us today is, how are we responding to Jesus? Are we seeking Jesus? Are we worshiping Jesus? And the final question is, do we know Jesus as a Savior? And that's the most important thing. The most important thing a person can do in their whole life. Give their lives to Jesus before it's too late. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for this day that you've given to us. Thanks for the chance to think about worshiping the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Lord, we just pray that we'll be people, we'll be known as those who sincerely, diligently seek Jesus all of our lives. We'll be people who are known who worship the true God, Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Okay, if you would, stand with us again, and we're going to sing the song, A Thousand Candles, which is on page 159.